This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The next director of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts has a home picked out in a historic Bloomington neighborhood and will start calling the community home in about 3 weeks. Jim Mack is currently the managing director and facility director for the Mesquite Arts Council in Mesquite, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. Mack joined GLT's Mike McCurdy from his office in Mesquite to talk about arts funding, fundraising, programming, and to compare and contrast the BCPA with the Mesquite Center.
The facility itself is approximately 60,000 square feet. We have two theaters, an art gallery, rehearsal hall, banquet hall, campus, if you will, where we do outside events. Wonderful facility, good people here. The similarity between the center there in Bloomington and the one here in Mesquite is great. A lot of similarities, a lot of problems as well, in the sense that because Dallas is right next door, they have some of the much larger facilities, the AT&T Center. You know, you see that on national television, stuff like that.
Also the Wiley Theater. That's one of my questions: is who did the Mesquite Arts Center serve? The 170,000 people who lived in Mesquite, or the 7 million in the Dallas metro area? And how did all those facilities work together?
Some of us work very well together; others do not. Who do I service? I rarely pull people in through Dallas to my facility. However, everything east of me, which include, you know, tier two, tier three, tier four suburbs, they all come to Mesquite for my events. And then the surrounding suburbs as well, Plano, Garland, Dallas proper, not so much. My number one target base, of course, is the local folks here in Mesquite, Texas, so that's about 170,000. We do different things down here in that we have this choir competition. It's called the UILs here in Texas, and very popular, very big. I just landed the regional competition right here at my facility, so all of North Texas will be coming to Mesquite, Texas here in the next few weeks. So that's fantastic. You know, I get a smorgasbord of young people, chaperones, and they all come and they see this facility for the first time, and they think, wow, this is a great facility, a lot of going on, why don't I come back? So that's the trick. My theory on programming is quite simple. I think of like an apple pie, and every slice in that pie represents dance or theater or literature or music or something along those lines. And granted, some pieces are larger than the other, but whenever I think about programming catered to my community, I always think of that apple pie and that, you know, do I have enough of this going on? Do I have enough children's programming? Do I have enough programs for, you know, the seniors and everybody in between? Some of them are multi-generational programming. Others are very much specific to just children. I have a program I do now. It's called Just for Kids. I've been carrying that with me, and started it in Tucson, Arizona, and it's a wonderful program. I just had one on Saturday. We had about 170 kids show up and watch some musicians tell a story through music. So it was pretty cool.
So back to the other facilities. Did you look for complimentary programming to fold into the Mesquite Arts Center lineup, or alternative events and performances? You know, did you counter program or try to build on what they were doing?
No, not necessarily. Plenty of people in this community, you know, if you think of the 7 million that you referred to earlier, it's closer to 4. But nonetheless, everybody, every facility in the Metroplex could be doing a country music night on Saturday night, and everyone could fill the house. So you don't necessarily have to, you know, check with folks to make sure that you're not competing, because there's plenty of folks to go around. However, the trick is to get some of these other facilities to join you in sharing the cost. So, hey, it might be in the Plano Performing Arts Center next year. This year it was in the Mesquite Center. But we're doing like whatever it may be. So that's what I like to do. I like to get other folks involved, get other performing arts centers involved. Now, that won't necessarily be the case in Bloomington, but here it seems to work well that if you have more sharing in the marketing and their mailing list and their, you know, their Facebook account, et cetera, you're definitely going to get more folks that are going to show up.
Let's go back to your apple pie metaphor. What's the balance between those shows that might pack the house, mass appeal shows, and those that maybe have less appeal but push the envelope a little bit, maybe broaden the center's reach, getting people into the door who might then later come to a second or third show at some point?
Oh, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. Let me use another analogy. In theater, we all know that musicals sell tickets. But you cannot have musicals every time. You have to break the envelope. You have to reach out to the far edges and do some of those productions that maybe aren't as popular or maybe won't sell as many tickets as the musicals, but nonetheless they are equally as important because they're going to draw upon perhaps a new crowd. Some folks, as you indicated, they're going to come back again because they're interested in that play you did that wasn't mainstream. They're going to come back and they're going to say, well, maybe they're going to do something else differently, and they keep checking in, and that's what I like to see. Now, as far as programming, you know, kids programming, let's be honest, they're wonderful. A lot of kids show up, but you don't make any money on them because, well, more often than not, you'd charge no admission. You know, they're open to the public, but they still do have cost. So if I was a strict business person, I would say, well, those are losing operations, get rid of them. But I'm not going to do that because I need those children's programming because they satisfy a certain niche within a community.
And they bring in the adults. They bring in the parents.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what I'm doing. I'm handing those programs and I'm handing future events to those parents as they're sitting there waiting for their children to have fun. And that's exactly right. And so, no, I don't make judgment calls strictly on what's popular or what makes money. The arts is all-encompassing. There's so many elements of the arts, and I like to incorporate a little bit of everything, if not at least once, maybe twice in the course of a program year. Now, keep them in mind, there's some things that just will never work, and maybe I'll do that every 2-3 years, and that might be, you know, banjo competition or something along those lines where, you know, we're not going to get a big crowd, but it's definitely satisfying that little niche, that little group of banjo players over there.
Sure, the banjo competition would eventually attract the accordion lovers, lovers for the accordion competition, right?
Sure. it's a happy medium. It's finding good and bad in every type of program, and then looking at the community and as a whole and saying what is working for the entire community.
You mentioned children's programming. What about other populations, diverse populations, Bloomington Normal's Hispanic or African American communities? How do you approach that?
Oh, same way. You know, right here in Mesquite, we have a third of the population is black, a third of it is Hispanic, and the remainder is white. So a lot of my programming is cultural specific, be it Day of the Dead, Cinco de Mayo for folklorical dancers. We do that competition. They come in every year, and we have 7 or 8 different folklorical dancers, and we sell out that show every time. Down here, we have a large Indian population, country of India, and their programming is quite different. They expect different things. They have different instruments. They have different types of bands that they like to listen to. They have different stories they like to hear, and I tap into that as well.
Bloomington Normal shares that similarity. There are a lot of members of the Indian community here as a result of State Farm Insurance.
Yep, Plano, Texas. They have the headquarters for State Farm right down here, and I know a lot of folks that transfer up to Bloomington and back that I've been talking to in the last couple of months anyways, and I know Bloomington, they say. I had to do some training up there.
You touched on some of the similarities between the two facilities, the BCPA and the Mesquite Arts Center. The Mesquite Arts Center is a visually stunning facility. What are the BCPA's strengths and weaknesses, do you think, as a facility?
The actual Performing Arts Center is beautiful. It's got an elegance to it. It's large. It holds a lot. It's got a huge banquet room. I like the facility. I like the location. But I'll tell you, Mike, what I really liked is when I was walking around that building and I looked out the window and I saw a little sign next to the street that said Cultural District. And I asked my boss, I said, what does that mean? And they said, I knew what a cultural district was, but what does it mean to Bloomington? And they said, well, that would be something that the new person would really have to develop. And that got me excited because not only does Bloomington have a building, but they have a campus. They have that Creative Arts Center to the north. They have some other arts organizations right nearby. So I would be excited to take that area and make it into a cultural district, as that sign indicates.
What are some important elements that you think any cultural district ought to have?
Definitely a place for the different elements, be it dance, theater, arts, you know, like painters. I think they definitely need to have a home to create and to display and sell. And of course, most artists are starving, so therefore it's got to be affordable. There's got to be agreements. There's got to be contracts put in place to make these folks come to town, stay in town, at least work productively in these areas. I also am a big fan of resident nonprofit organizations, be it like a theater company or a symphony of some sort, a community band. I'd like to see them on site, at least have an office on site, at least have their rehearsals on site. In this cultural district, I would like to see more public art in that area, at least, you know, make it very friendly, make it, as I indicated, a community area for the community to come down and enjoy the afternoon, be it a Saturday or a Sunday, and get their experiences with the arts and the culture and the community.
The Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts is often a political football. It's sometimes mentioned early on as an amenity the city should shed when the budget is tight, and this year the city is facing a $3 million deficit. How would you defend this kind of community amenity?
Good question. Yes, I've worked places where we were definitely the football and we were getting kicked around considerably. My argument has always been the arts are required in a community. They're not needed. They are required. It is important that the arts are in every community. They satisfy that element that these other tax-generating businesses do not do, and that is bring a community together. Let them experience each other's cultures, their similarities, their differences. Performing Arts Center, I understand it's an easy target to just cut it. That be the case, you know, then funding becomes a priority and you go out and you do a lot of fundraising. I'm here to tell you right now that there's very few arts organizations that can survive without some kind of government funding. So you're right. It's either you have the arts in your community or you don't. Well, I can show plenty of evidence with communities that don't have any arts and they suffer because of it.
Can the arts or a performing arts center be an economic driver in a community?
It can. It can. It can. It takes commitment. An example, right here in Texas, down the street there's Austin, Texas. University of Texas down there, it's a wonderful city, yada, yada, yada. But it wasn't until some dreamers came up and they said, hey, let's do this South by Southwest contest, this competition, this performance, if you will. And they went over to the university and they asked them for help. And the university says, yeah, we don't really care about that. Now the university is calling South by Southwest Concert Festival and saying, hey, can we get involved? It really has transformed Austin.
You mentioned arts funding and the necessity for government funding. The Illinois Arts Council is a shell of what it used to be. The National Endowment for the Arts is a regular target. The arts used to be funded by patrons and small philanthropies and government funding. And as that third leg of the stool begins to get weaker, the government funding part, where do you go? And what does that say about the future of the arts?
What it does say is that you're correct, that the funding isn't available. Same thing here in Texas. The Texas Commission on the Arts, they cut, it was 43% of their funding just last year, which was incredible. That's a huge cut. What do? Well, we get together as arts organizations and we pool our resources and we drive forward. That's what we're doing right now. And hence, I said earlier that we're getting together with other facilities in the Metroplex to create and continue on with shared resources.
Incoming director of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, Jim Mack, speaking with GLT's Mike McCurdy. Mack is married with two daughters. He says he and his wife are from the upper Midwest and looking forward to returning to a smaller community with shorter commutes. This is Sound Ideas on GLT.